What is... going down, everyone. It's time for the hype, episode number 157. mojobreak.com is the website. Make sure you're subscribed here on Twitter and our Mojo Break Media, where you can find all of our content. We just broke down the MLB playoffs on the Dugout Show, so watch that on Mojo Break Media. But for today's show, we got a lot of exciting things to talk about. We're going to have a debate, PSA versus BGS. So we're going to get down on that one. We're also going to talk a little Pokemon, which we barely anything about it, but we're going to talk about it because it is very, very hot at the moment. And we're also going to break down some bad signatures. Dan, C-Rad, whoever wants to say what's up, how's it going? Like how I set you guys up on that one.
Oh, huh? Yeah, I mean, that will never work.
Yeah.
You can't just say...
Go in at the same time.
Yeah. Hey. Dan, C-Rad, how you guys doing?
Talk at the same time.
Double down.
What's up? Tell me what's up.
Yeah, I'm good, man. I just woke up today and figured I'd put on a sports coat, dress shirt, and come to work and open up some cards.
Very professional, man.
Well, that's what I am, and that's what I do. I do for the people.
Sell me something.
I did.
Sell me that Kavita sparkling
drink. It's all gone. It was so good. I drank it already.
Oh, well,
it's very difficult. Not difficult to sell it, but definitely difficult not to just chug it all down. It's so good.
Okay, well. Then
and it brought to you by Kavita Sparkling. Please hit us up. I love this so much, and we were just talking about sponsorships. Like, we need drink sponsorships. So, the fine people at Kavita, come at me. And
Kiefer culture, dude.
Yeah, it's Kiefer. Great. It's great.
C-Rad, what's up, dude?
What's up, everybody? And I'd like to mention Pokemon has always been hot.
It has. It's just now it's getting crazy popular. But speaking of somebody that maybe doesn't need a sponsorship, I want to talk a little Alvin Kamara. Why do you ask? Well, for one, he had an amazing game over the weekend. And for two, I don't know who's signing his autographs. So we're going to look at a rookie autograph in 2017 compared to a very, very recent sizable signature black autograph. I don't think Alvin Kamara is signing his cards any longer. You can also look at some of his latest Donruss cards. What is going on with Alvin Kamara's signature? Is it him? Is he shorthanding it? Is he too popular now to do it the old way? What do you guys think?
Dude, this is funny because his old autograph is so unique that it you'll never forget it. It has a star. So it always would stand out when you get an Alvin Kamara rookie auto in 2017. This is breaking news, Doug. I did not know.
Breaking here.
Like, look at you. Look at you going out and putting in the work.
I should be wearing the sports coat, you know?
You should. You could actually wear mine, but it would be that scene
Chris Farley,
in Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not quite that large yet. A couple more pizzas maybe, but yeah.
I bet you'd break this.
I'd probably break that one.
I bet you'd rip it right in half.
Let's try it. No.
Let's not. I got this one tailored, actually, so let's...
Yeah, I'm going to get retailored after that. What do you think, C-Rad? Alvin Kamara.
That's surprising to me too, because I've actually not seen or pulled a Alvin Kamara in 2020. So just seeing this on the screen is pretty jarring. Just like you were saying, his was so unique back in 2017, like Dan was saying, with the star. That first one compared to the 2017, that's what is going on here?
No, I think you look at the next one, just a straight AK. The pen strokes are not even the same. The star, the star that he used to do, I think it's the A, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he just puts a star in it. You actually look at the pen strokes on the star, and then you look at the A on the next slide, and it's not even close.
Yeah, I don't know,
but we are, again, in COVID times, so there's I don't know how manufacturers are going to be obtaining these autographs, and it is a sticker auto, and they definitely are not going to have a chance to go to Alvin Kamara's house and sit down and have him sign autographs. It's just not feasible at the moment now. So, unfortunately, I don't know if any of these autographs they have an affidavit that they send with it.
Right. I was going to say that.
But they're probably not being seen in person as they would in previous years.
Yeah, I mean, how very easy is it for Alvin Kamara to be like, hey, maybe he got this in April. Who knows? Maybe he got it, you know, in the midst of the pandy. And he basically was like, you know what? I got to work out. I got to train. I'm not getting training camp. So he's like, hey, Mr. Assistant, or hey, son or cousin or somebody, can you just get, you know, fulfill those commitments I have with Panini America for me?
It was also right around the same time.
Probably be very easy to do that.
He had a little contract dispute with the Saints during the offseason, and he was holding out a training camp, and he wanted to get that extension. He got it now, so I wonder if, like, if there's any more autos if you go back to the star.
Maybe. Well, maybe that's extra. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he's like, you know what? For the money you're paying me, you're getting the AK.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
know.
If you
pay me double, I'm going to go give you the star.
I don't know. I know very little. But if I was to sit down and look at all three of these different autographs, it would be a red flag. I'd be like, I'm concerned.
Yeah.
What about you guys? Concerned or just like shorthand? It's all good. Just a way of the way we do it now.
I mean, this one, the black one, doesn't look as bad, maybe because he kind of screwed it up. But the other ones literally look like it was just like, I'm going to put an A, I'm going to put a K, I'm going to put an A, I'm going to put a K.
But
they almost look different, like it's somebody trying to.
But do you think, and we've already talked about this, a manufacturer going back and saying, hey, we suspect that this may have not been you who signed these. Manufacturers' hands
can't.
Are kind of tied.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you are accusing somebody of lying when you really don't know. But I think you have to take a step back, get those autographs back, and look at them and go, we can't put our name and associate our name in saying that we guarantee these autos to be legit.
But you can't. It's almost like it's not a scenario where it's a teacher saying a student cheated. You just can't do that
okay,
with a high
okay.
profile athlete.
Hypothetically, Doug, I'm putting you. You are in charge of a manufacturer. You have been in the past. I mean, you had Doug's Duels that came out a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So like
very strict quality control.
You've worn that hat. You've done this. So let's say you send out some stickers to get signed by an athlete that you've had on card autos with. And they come back and they look like this. Do you go, well, Doug's Duels Series 16 is coming out. I just got to throw it out there. Or do you go, I'm going to hold these back and do a little bit more due diligence and research to see if maybe contact them and be like, hey, did you change your auto?
Maybe friendly, have a conversation. But once again, any card company is kind of low on the totem pole, not a priority, has no pull, and it's a situation where this is a third-year Alvin Kamara card where it's not the draw of the product, right? So everybody's chasing Burrow and Tua, and this is a nice addition, right? And Panini doesn't have any time to maybe go back and say, can we get the other auto? And then he's going to be like, well, I fulfilled my obligation. They have an affidavit. That's all they can do. It's almost like a court document. Even if somebody you think is lying, if the affidavit says I'm not lying, what can you do? You
but,
can't do
but
anything.
But the other issue is, and again, speculating on my end, to get him to sign after his rookie year, unless it's a contract that they already had worked in, maybe it was a multi-year contract deal, they probably paid more money for the more recent autos
yes.
than they paid for the 2017 autos.
Well, you could see
so
it. You could see it in the numbering here.
If I put out a lot of money to get these 2020 autographs as a manufacturer, I think I would have to have a friendly conversation and say, hey, we all sat back and looked at your 2017 auto and your 20. And this conversation may be happening right now. Now, if it's happening right now,
I don't think they have no time, dude. They're putting Zenith out. I mean,
yeah, but do you want
to
risk the backlash of putting in unauthorized
authorized that it was his signature though, so unless you're like you did not sign this and he's like yes I did, what grounds do they have to stand on? They have no grounds to stand on.
You got,
I get the optics.
Yeah, well, I mean you got the fact that I again speculating, but if I was to guess, I would say these are probably not the same person.
I would too, and you're right. What I was going to make the point about is the money. Obviously, it costs more because if you look at the black version, there's five of them. If you look at these two Donruss versions, there's a number to 25 and there's a number to 15. So obviously, there's probably only like 20 or something.
So yeah, I mean,
he signed maybe like 200.
There may have been a contract that was negotiated in the off season for, you know, 150, 200 sticker autos that they're going to basically space out, and he probably got as much money for those 200 autos as he did for the, again, hypothetically throwing numbers out there, 20,000 autos he may have signed in 2017.
Now, would this get a C-Rad 6.5, the autograph?
The autograph?
Yeah.
Probably not the autograph because, you know, Kamara, he's cool, but he's not like super cool on my list. So
he's a good ball player.
Like a 4.5.
Yeah, because I don't care about the autos either.
So you don't care about the autos, you don't care about the condition, and you don't care about
like nothing about the player. The condition. The player matters.
The player matters. The player is basically where the grading really comes in.
Yes, exactly.
The condition doesn't matter.
Cool
the autograph. How cool the car. And that's
design-wise.
That's based solely on your opinion.
My opinion of aesthetics.
Yeah, so, like, if I'm all, hey, this is a really cool card, Conrad, and you're like, yeah, I don't like it, that's like 2.3.
It might not get a 6.5.
It might get 2.3. Yeah. Is it a 6.5 or nothing?
I'll tell you this. If it's a San Francisco Giants or a San Francisco 49ers card, it might not go past a 2.
So when people submit, I'm curious because we just had a debate about grading, and we'll segue into that soon. But I want to talk about the other grading company out there, C-Rad 6.5, running up the list here. Mm-hmm. And I want to know if somebody sends a card and it's not a 6.5. Mm-hmm. Do they just get it sent back to them? You just take their money and then send it back and say, hey, didn't read.
No, I'm going to give them a grade.
Oh, because I thought maybe it might be this didn't get it's 6.5 or nothing. Like it didn't reach a cut. It's not cool enough.
No. I'll
Here's
you
your card
a,
back.
You,
and then you basically take their money.
No, I give everybody a grade.
Give everybody a grade.
Yeah.
Like what's the lowest grade you can give? Is it a 0.1?
Like 0.5,
0.4.
0.4? Yeah.
0.4? Do you do like
0.4?
Do you even do fractional on top of that? Like 0.425?
Very rarely.
Okay, because I'm just like,
so you could have like 1,000 different grades there. I mean,
yeah. So 6.5 is like essentially like a black label.
Yeah.
Or like the coolest
card in the world.
And you get those out on a regular basis. Like, is it? Would you say 3% of submissions get a 6.5, or 10%, or 1%? Than 1%.
I tell you this, as long as it says Oakland on the card, you might have a good chance of getting a 6.5, baby.
All right.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, let's talk about a product that's coming out on Friday. Football. There may be an Alvin Kamara on there. I don't know. But Origins. Some may call it Inception still. But Origins is coming out on Friday, and you are looking at 3 hits per box. Solely based on the rookie premier list. So if you're buying teams and PYTs and things like that, I would probably stay away from teams like the Saints that may not have a rookie premier guy, because typically these are only rookie premier autos. I know we had a COVID rookie premier, but I would look at that. But it is known for its on-card autographs, as you can see with the Joe Burrow mock-up here. You have patch autographs, and it's always been one of those staples to football. My question to you guys, both you guys and people in the chat, we're in a different era now. We're in an era of parallels. Does Origins still do well? Does it still become sought after in the era of parallels? And somebody can take whoever wants to take that one.
Man, you're I'll take it. Maybe you should like nudge me or something.
Okay.
Maybe like, here you go, man. You can
whoever's hungry. Yeah.
I'm going hungry. Origins on card autos. Parallels you're talking. You know what Origins doesn't have? Shininess. And you're probably talking about
that's what I'm saying.
You're probably just saying that. Is it out of the realm for there to be an Origins prism?
Like, what if
they actually started inserting Origin cards, prism technology, non-autos, as case hits, inside the case?
Oh. I couldn't even comprehend that. I think
we just got done doing a debate. I get it. Like, there's a lot of information spewing out of my mouth and going into your brain. So it's hard to keep
like
up.
Origins Optic.
Or I'm saying only one. It can be it can be a Prism preview.
But they're not doing that though, that we know.
But
of.
Origin design. With Prism, you can never do too much shiny. We've learned this.
Yeah, we thought there was.
No, they're never too much shiny.
You can never have too much shiny.
It we've already talked about this. The basketball collectors have basically kind of taken over the football collectors, and we're not looking for the autos. That's old school. We're looking for the parallels. We're looking for the silvers. We're looking for the rookies. I mean, people are going after Donruss. We're selling Donruss football personal boxes like crazy because people want the like rookie cards, the true rookie cards of Joe Burrow and Herbert. And I don't know if Origins is going to be hot because it is on card. It's the first true on card. Don't know if the players are going to be in their actual jersey, if they're going to Photoshop the jerseys, or is it going to be the 00? They didn't have a photo shoot. So I don't know what to expect. I know what we're looking at right now is just the mock-ups.
Yeah, I'm looking through the checklist. It is available on Panini's website as well. It does look like they have shields. I don't see a whole lot of veteran other than maybe base cards. That they do have parallels of that. You know, you can see that they have Mahomes, Brady, all that stuff. So I mean, those may be valuable at some point. Low numbered Origins, Brady, Mahomes, things like that. So, but yeah, it's gonna be an interesting release to see how collectors take it because it was allocated for us. We got less than we wanted. You can see the retail price is higher than it's been. But once again, it's not a parallel. So C-Red, I mean, what do you think? Origins, is it just football collectors are gonna come to it anyway?
Man, if we were talking about this back in July, like when Origins usually generally comes out, what, in August? So if we were talking about this in July, August, I would say the hype for Origins would be the same as it's always been. But as we've seen, like the market changes so fast every single month. So I'm going to say people are still excited because, you know, like you said, it's the first on card with like the with their full uniform on, right? The first on card, because the pen pals technically are on card with their uniforms, but they're like neck, like kind of like shoulder neck up, mm-hmm. right? It's not the full photo of them. So Origins generally is that first on card with their full jersey. So that's what made it so popular with collectors, because it was an early chance of getting these on card autos of them. But now we're releasing in October now.
So yeah,
you know what I mean, so
yep.
I think the key with Origins has always been that it is, like you're saying, an early release. It's one of those releases that does really well for like a week,
yeah,
maybe 2 weeks, and then
it either
dries up or another product comes out. I think Origins is one of those products that is falling down on the pecking order every year.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised to see products like Phoenix kind of overtake.
Yeah.
Because again, you got that shiny aspect of Phoenix. And
just seeing the preview here that Doug's scrolling through, I mean, it looks as nice as it always does. I mean, Inception has always been a great design. And, you know, Panini borrowing it for Origins. You know what I mean?
That was sneaky right there. That was sneaky. I don't know if everybody was sitting, because you gotta remember, we're dealing with people who may have not been in the industry or the hobby that long,
but they still see Obsession every year because of baseball.
They do. But starting in, and correct me if I'm wrong, 2012, Inception football,
2011.
That was close.
Cam Newton year.
2011, Cam Newton. So there was a Topps Inception football, and actually Inception football came out before Inception baseball.
Interesting.
Yes. And literally
Bowman Inception used to be a completely different configuration than it is now for baseball.
Yep. Yeah, and I believe the last year they made Inception was 15, and I think literally they came out with Origins in 16.
Yes. So why was 15 the last year?
Because Topps lost their football license or wasn't able to renew because Panini basically bought the exclusive rights. They paid that money to say, Topps, we don't want you to make football products anymore.
Like that softball. You know, I'm starting to get the hang of this.
Yeah, 157 shows in.
157 episodes, and I'm getting the hang of this game.
It. Well, let's talk about something that I know nothing about, but, you know, you can't dismiss the popularity, the resurgence of the Pokemon cards. Now, I know this is a sports card show. I know we mainly talk about sports, but we'd be remiss to not talk about this explosion of Pokemon and the first edition. We have Jake Paul. If you don't know who he is, he's got 16 million followers on Instagram. So he's got a lot of followers. He's a YouTube sensation, and he is on there talking about Charizard.
Professional boxer too.
Yeah, you're trying to fight your boy Antonio Brown.
Well, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. And so, you know, you could see a recent tweet of you Logan
say,
Paul.
Yeah, I was like, didn't you say Jack Paul?
I probably said his name wrong. I'm sorry.
Jake Paul's his brother.
Jake, oh. Yeah, Logan Paul, Jake Paul.
I think he said Jack though.
No, I think he said Jake Paul.
No, I think he said Jack Paul. Which is funny because it's like their second cousin.
Yeah. Chris Paul is collecting Pokemon cards now. Logan Paul, nostalgia plus business equals the new art. Just bought an estate's worth of Pokemon cards. Most fun investment I've ever made. Shout out to Gary V for pushing me. So, here we go again. Gary V changing the market. But, you know, what this relates to is that the guys in – you know, we're getting close to 40, right? Me and Dan. C-Rad's still 25.
Speak for yourself, dude. I'm 23.
But, you know, we were more like, you know, Pogs instead of Pokemon. But I think Pokemon is the early 30s, late 20s kind of guys. It's coming back around. They're seeing people doing trading cards. They're like, well, what about Pokemon cards? 1999, I was about to graduate high school. So I there's other things on my mind. But, you know, guys that were in middle school and elementary school around that time, now they're old enough to be like, I can buy some of these cards. And I remember having fun doing this. So I am going to buy it and hold on to it for a lifetime. So that's what's going on. And these cards are going for insane amounts. You can see a first edition Charizard BGS9 selling for $60,000. A Pokemon first edition Red Pikachu, $1,600. A 1999 Holo first edition Shadowless Pokemon, $3,500. And this is just... there's so much more of this going on. I mean, in the last 6 months, some of these cards have doubled and tripled in price.
Let's. I'm gonna go to C-Rad real quick. Mm-hmm. I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
So 1999 Pokemon first edition. I'm assuming that was a mass-produced product.
Absolutely.
You can get as many as you want, right?
Yes.
Obviously, that $60,000 Charizard had to be. What would they consider a rare? They don't say short prints in Pokemon, right? They like rare and commons, maybe.
Yeah, it was more on the rare side.
Yeah. Also, a BGS9. Now, when kids were getting these cards, there, if I'm not mistaken, again, there's a game that's played with it, correct?
Correct.
So you're probably like not top loading these cards, and you're not probably sleeving these cards as much, especially back in like 1999 when the game first came out. It had to be more directed towards the gameplay than the collection.
Right.
Now I think it's you have collectors who are like, oh, I'm going to collect these and I'm going to hold on to them.
And what a lot of kids were doing back then, they weren't putting necessarily in sleeves a lot, but they were putting them in the binders.
Okay. But, I mean, don't you have to take them out to play the game?
Or
playing the game like wasn't as popular?
Playing the game wasn't as popular. Actually, I'll say this. For from what I've seen from, because this was very popular when I was in middle school, so we were all collecting the cards. Some of us were playing the actual card game, not many people were actually just playing the game on Game Boy, but we were just collecting the cards on the side to trade. And because we know, like, you know, like even back then we knew that for me it was coming from sports cards in the early 90s, right? For me it made sense, like, okay, this Charizard is harder to get, so that's why it's worth $40. Back then, it was worth $40, right, for the foil version, first edition. So, like, I understood that. So, you know, I don't know how other Pokemon collectors understood it, because maybe then they might not necessarily have came from the sports card side, but a lot of people were obviously that were into the game went straight to the trading cards, and yeah, people were not playing it as much.
I think that's actually a pretty good. Connection to the video game to the cards, because you're basically playing the video game and you obviously can play different characters or you see different characters, then you associate those characters with the cards and you're like, oh, this like character in the game's like dope, like I'm stoked I got that one.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to how we view sports cards with viewing sports. Mm-hmm. You basically find a player that you want a PC, and you're like, okay, I got this player. Now I'm going to watch all the games and check out his stats. The only difference is that you're basically playing the game and then associating those cards with the collection.
The thing that intrigues me is the fact that, you know, even back, this is two decades ago, all right? Even back then, people were chasing the Charizard card as like a holy grail. You know, that was the most expensive card, $40 to $100 was what it was going for back then, raw, back in 1999. But to me, it's like Charizard was a popular character in the show and somewhat in the video game. He wasn't necessarily the most powerful character in the video game. So I wonder where that lore came from.
Again,
it must have been from the, because I did watch the cartoon. It must have been from the cartoon. They maybe played up Charizard as this, like, you know, overwhelming, you know, Pokemon that other trainers and Pokemons had to overcome.
I don't really know much, but like, wasn't one of the most popular and polarizing characters in Pokemon Pikachu?
Definitely the most popular.
The
most popular by far.
Like,
easily.
But I don't see a lot of value in, there has to be, Pikachu has to have cards, right?
Yeah.
Is there value in, because he was probably the most, he, it.
I think I Pikachu's what, value
what,
isn't.
What is Pikachu?
Pikachu, he's like a little rat. Rat, I think. Cute rat.
Well, there's actually less
Pikachu. He's a mouse. he's a mouse rat.
There's less Pikachu graded. So I hopped onto the Pop Report, and, you know, hopefully I'm looking at the right thing. There is, you know, when you're looking at Charizard and you look at first edition, and let me get back to where I was. There was only about 1,000 Charizard first editions graded, with only I think 100 tens or maybe less. Let me get back to where I was.
The thing is, but that has to be recent, right?
Charizard Holo. Was there 120 PSA 10s, and there's only 2,500 total in the PSA Pop Report.
I'll say this. I've known for at least since the mid-2000s to maybe the late-2000s, the earliest I can remember, people really collecting the graded Charizards.
And grading them.
So, like, this,
you wouldn't think
this,
of that.
This has been going on for over a decade now, that where it's actually been a collectible thing, and I've seen it. You know, I've watched from afar. I've seen it grow. And Pokemon is one of the biggest franchises in the world now, off the strength of the you know, just not the cartoons. The video games is huge, but yeah, the trading card has never really slowed down amongst kids.
You think that maybe its resurgence in the popularity has to do with the Pokemon Go app? Because a lot of the people who, like, used to maybe play the card game or play the Game Boy game or play all the games, maybe watch the cartoons, now they're older adults, and this is how they get reintroduced, and maybe they can introduce their kids to Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
So now you start seeing cards coming out again, and they're like, oh, I remember collecting cards, so I'm going to go ahead and do this with my kids, and we're going to go and play the Pokemon Go game, and it's going to be just a whole family thing.
I think it's a nostalgia aspect of it, and I think, just like sports cards, I think the pandemic has helped, because, you know, you can't go to a football game in most places. You can't go out to a bar. You can't go to a concert. There's so many things you can't do anymore during this time that people are bored. So they're going back and they're looking at these things, and it's spreading, because you see, look at breaks, look at cards. You got, hey, John, I just went to Target and I bought a Mosaic Blaster, and they sell for $200 now. What? Football cards? Oh, basketball? I'm going to look it up. Wow, look at this. LeBron James sold for $4 million. Wow, there's money in this. I'm going to get in this. This is fun. So, I mean, I think it's lack of things to do that's helping this. And with
the hobby in general.
Yeah, hobby being on social media compared to in 1999 when this game came out, it wasn't really as much on social media. So it's just spreading fast.
Let's be clear here that they never stopped making Pokemon cards.
No.
They never.
Like, so that's also a thing. Like, in 99.
And there's no autos to hold it back, so it's massively produced.
Yeah, the first edition, 1999. I've had solicitations for the last 10 years if I want to buy Pokemon cards. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until the last couple months where we're like, yeah, we'll take some. I mean, where is the resurgence? We have to pinpoint it somewhere. If you think it's just the pandemic and people are trying to find things to do, then it's not going to have legs and longevity. As soon as we get back to normal, it's going to go right back into. Yeah.
In my opinion, it's the growth of Pokemon has been a completely 100% organic, natural growth. In that I've seen it grow every, like I said, even in the late 2000s, I've seen people collecting Charizards for thousands of dollars because they're like, this is the card that's going to keep growing in value as it becomes more and more through the years. Kind of like a Jordan or LeBron rookie, right? So
Charizard is the Jordan
absolutely
of Pokemon.
Anytime a set has a Charizard that any set that comes out now, if it has a Charizard, especially like a full art foil type of Charizard, it's always going to be the most expensive card in the set.
LeBron.
Yeah.
Or Jordan.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to move on. The PSA versus BGS debate is coming up, so stay tuned for that. We do have some Pokemon available on the website for personals, or if you want us to ship it sealed, we can do that as well. There is a new form of Charizard that people are chasing in those boxes as well. But we want to talk a little soccer. Soccer's also heating up. It's crazy, and Dan knows this sales rep that calls us, and he has this spiel, you know, and he's very good at his spiel, where he's like, hey, we got Top Stadium Club, how many cases do you want, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of his spiel, he goes, soccer, WWE, Pokemon, you guys don't want any of that. All right, have a good day.
Actually, he throws Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yes. Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon,
soccer, racing. All right.
Yeah, so that was like, wait, hold up. We're ordering that now. But anyways, soccer is soccer.
Wait, don't hang up.
Yeah, don't do
you,
the.
You say Pokemon?
9 years in a row. You got to change it now. You got to change up this spiel. Soccer is on fire. You know, in the new Select UEFA, which the UEFA didn't happen this year. It's going to happen next year. But the teams were already named. There's 20 countries that are involved in the Euro Cup, and they're represented in the Select Soccer, which is in fuego right now. As you can see, some of the boxes are the hybrid is going for $450, the hobby's going for around $600, and that is piggybacking off the strength of the World Cup, 2018 Prism World Cup. Soccer is huge, and soccer is the number one sport in the world, so it was only a matter of time before the collecting of it came to the forefront. And
yeah,
as
it felt like we were gonna get that, remember a few years ago when they were really putting out a lot of a lot of soccer products. It felt like that wave was coming, but it just got delayed a few years, and now we're finally.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, it always, we've seen it as long as
during
Panini,
World Cup.
As long as Panini's had the license during the World Cup, you see a pretty significant spike in releases, mm-hmm. right? And you see a spike in demand.
Yeah.
And Doug and I have talked about it over the years because we've gone through 2 World Cup cycles doing group breaks, and it almost 3, but 2 for sure. And you basically can see right after the World Cup happens, nobody would care. And now it's not even a World Cup year. Products are coming out, and it literally is the hottest product on our site. It is the hottest product on internet retailer sites.
Yeah.
It is the hottest product on the secondary market. It reminds me a lot of basketball, but just like overnight.
Yep.
Like Zion, we were talking about Zion
six
months before the draft. A year before the draft. We were talking about Zion. So we were just already talking 1920 is going to be crazy. 1920 is going to be crazy. This literally just like it was 3-4 releases, and now we're just like, I would say at this moment soccer is hotter than basketball. It might have a lot to do with the fact that basketball is winding down, we're getting a new rookie class, but it's hot. It's the hottest thing in the market right now.
Yeah, and you can see some prices. I mean, the 2018 Prism Kylian Mbappes are just out of this world. You can see a blue one ending in 5 days, it's already up to $2,500. His base cards are going for thousands of dollars. Just a base card of Kylian Mbappe, who is in Select UEFA as well. So I can only imagine. Obviously, they won't go for as much as his Prism because that's his first one. But, you know, getting any colors, any zebras, things like that will do very, very well. You've got tons of play. Even Messi and Ronaldo, who's had a ton of cards. I mean, granted, those guys are like the legends. Those are like the LeBron and the Kevin Durant of the league right now. The guys that have been around for a while that are the top of the sport. So a lot of things going on. And I think the beauty of soccer collecting, too, is that two companies make the cards. Three, if you want to throw in the one that does the overseas, that what's that company that's
Futura.
So they make the cards too, but you got Topps with their certain licenses, and you have Panini with their certain licenses, and they're actually kind of competing in a sense to make better products, which in turn helps the collector, right?
I think, and that's the issue that I have. It is very hot right now, but it is very confusing from a collector that doesn't know a lot about soccer. Yeah. Like, you know some of the players, but you're like, are the players I'm chasing going to be in this set? Are they even in this league? I have no idea. Like, you're going to have to do a little bit of research. I'm trying to learn on the fly as well. But it is good to see the two manufacturers having that true competition and raising the bar. Fun. And that actually might be why it's so hot right now, because not one manufacturer can basically control the market.
Absolutely. And well, without further ado, we are going to get into the debate, decision.
Should we have a disclaimer?
I don't know.
Should we basically say that anything in this next skit is not affiliated with Mojo Break or is like, you know, the whole
allegedly? Just say allegedly.
I'm just saying, like, this is. It's satire. So just relax.
No, it was serious, and I was serious. I was serious. C-Rad was serious. Dan may not have been serious.
Because
he had a lot to lose.
Very rarely. But I there should be like a disclaimer right now, just so we don't get in trouble.
No disclaimers. Not at all.
And that's how
not
you
at
get-
all. Not at all. So let's get into this without further ado.
All right, welcome collectors to the first great debate of 2020. Today we are here to see which is better for collectors, PSA or BGS. We got two gentlemen supporting each side. First, let's bring in BGS supporter, Double Down Dan.
Thank you, 6.5. How you doing today?
I am very well. And by the way, I forgot to mention that this is Conrad C-Rad 6.5, representing my own company, but moderating this great debate today. Next, we are bringing in PSA supporter, Doug the Plug. All right, so how it's going to work today is we are going to ask questions to each side. They do not know the questions beforehand. I came up with this all by myself because C-Rad 6.5 is obviously the better grading service. But first question, and we're going to give each side 2 minutes to answer. Why should collectors grade with you? BGS, let's start with you.
Well, I'm assuming when you say you, and you know, I would like to thank C-Rad 6.5 for doing the moderation tonight. I know you got big things going on.
Oh, thank
and
you.
I appreciate you taking time. And thank you. Thank you, the plug, for you know, being here tonight. I'm gonna have to mop the floor with you today.
It's
but
really a contest.
Don't
really
worry about it. So I'm out here and I'm thinking PSA. Why would you wanna do it, huh? It's a flimsy, and I say flimsy product. And when I talk about flimsy, I mean just the slabs themselves. You can't run them over with your car. It's proven that you cannot do it. It's just BGS, when you hold it, feels like you got something. And when I say you got something, I'm such a fan. I take some of my most precious belongings. I got my phone here. Slabbed up by BGS, as you can see. Let me get a little closer in there. It's amazing, right? It's amazing. It's the greatest slab known to man.
Well, you know, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to interject because I'm not Carrot Top. I don't have any props. My product speaks for itself. You can look on eBay. You can see what the 10s are selling for compared to the BGS. So there is no doubt. I don't even know why I'm here representing PSA.
speaking the word for the collectors because the data proves itself. Plus, look at all the colors BGS has. They have white, they have gold, they have black. You don't know where it's going. Are they going to introduce a rainbow? Are they going to introduce the yellow? PSA, we have one color. So when you have it in the box, they're all uniform. And that's the beauty of it. They're all uniform in the box. And they're much more aerodynamic. It's not like you're walking around with a paperweight. So the choice is very, very, very easy. And it's PSA, hands down.
Terrible. Flimsy. Now, when you get a BGS slab, you're basically, you have a chance of getting a black label, which is the creme de la creme when it comes to
0.00001%.
Lies.
Good luck. Good
lies.
Luck.
You have, there's no truth behind that.
Better chance to win the Powerball.
I have millions.
Guys,
of black
label. Let's not talk over each other here. Answer one at a time, please.
Got millions of black labels.
Well, he's just lying. He's
the
just
reason
lying.
Why I have, you know, when I'm driving down the highway at a buck 90 because I got so many black labels and I can afford a car that goes 190, and I get pulled over and I bring out my, like I said, some of my most precious belongings, including my driver's license, BGS slabbed, and I hand it to the cop and he just lets me go. He lets me go because he knows. He knows how I am. He knows I'm a man who knows slabs, knows grading, subgrades. How about we talk about subgrades? You know, say you send in a card, you get a 9.5, and you're like, man, what? Why didn't I get a 10? Why didn't I get a gem mint? Your surface is all messed up. And now I know. Now I know.
We don't have time or attention to pay attention to subgrades. We're just out there improving people's collections one card at a time.
Weak.
One card at a time.
Your slabs are weak.
They're not weak. They're
weak.
Pathetic.
All right, gentlemen. 2 minutes up for both sides. Let's get on to the next question, actually. So we're going to start here with PSA. Doug the plug. Please, what makes your grading service a better long-term investment?
Well, you can just look at the history of the company. We've been around a lot longer than these guys have. You know, I don't know. They may be gone tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe their service, maybe it's going to take you 2 years to get your cards. I don't know. That may make them go away. Allegedly, I heard they're backed up for 15 years. I don't know. That doesn't happen at PSA. And if you look at it, we have not changed through the years. It's almost like they're taking their slabs and they're just coming up with ideas every day. How can we make another wacky idea?
The greatest ideas.
Maybe like...
The greatest ideas. Maybe, the most innovative.
Maybe...
Most innovative.
Most innovative. Okay, well, it seems like you're trying to compete with the best, so you keep coming up with new ideas and nothing is sticking. We had the 9.5s. Then we had the 10 pristines. Well, how do we get people to get even more? We're going to do the black label. What's next? What are you guys coming up with next? What other label are you coming up with? Is there going to be 11? Are you guys going to come up with a BGS 11 next?
So Doug the plug, what makes your grading service a better long-term investment the question.
With all due respect, 6.5, I didn't get a rebuttal on that. He got like, do I get my 2 minutes back? I didn't get any.
He's just spewing nothingness out of his mouth.
I didn't get.
He's just spewing
out
of his mouth.
When coming to value, I didn't get to basically say my point. So can I get my 2 minutes?
PS, BGS then, double down Dan. What makes your grading service longer term investment?
Thank you, C-Rad 6.5.
Yeah. crap.
I feel right now I'm debating you instead of debating
crap.
The plug.
Crap, oh no.
So. We're talking about value here, right? We're talking about value. And what I hear from the plug, he may be scissor hands. Because I think that's why he loves the old PSA, if you get what I'm saying.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's why he's talking about value. You can't do that with BGS. We have those subgrades. We have checks and balances. That's why I'm a fan. The checks and balances. I don't know if they have
probably
those.
Probably why it takes six
PSA.
Years to get your cards.
And I know a lot of people.
6 years.
I know a lot of very, very, very famous collectors. I know them all, plug.
Okay.
But getting back to, you don't know. You could basically.
You see Logan Paul with the BGS slabs on Instagram, did you?
You know.
BGS,
whatever.
BGS might be the old man game.
Whatever, scissor hands.
Old man game.
Whatever, scissor hands. Is that your whole your game? Is that you go buy cards and you may take a little off the left, a little off the right?
I don't know what you're
talking
about.
Maybe a little off the top, a little off the bottom?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe go from a gem 9 to maybe a gem 10?
Never heard of it.
You wouldn't really know. I'm trying to save everybody here. I mean, there's nothing, and I'm talking to you, the collector. There ain't nothing worse than going through a shoebox and flipping through your flimsy slabs of PSA and seeing a 9999. You're all, why did I get a 9 and not a 10? Well, if you had some subgrades on there, maybe you would know. Maybe you can be
better.
There's
nothing worse than going through your box and seeing silver, white, gold, black. Well, you won't have a black in there, so it doesn't even matter because the chances are 0.00008%.
I got millions of black labels. Millions.
Maybe you do, but not your collectors. Not anybody else.
If you do it right, you can get 10s.
Check those for trimming.
No. That doesn't, checks and balances is what we base our product on.
All right. 2 minutes done for that. And I don't think either of you answered which one was a better long-term investment. So we're going to move right on.
Oh, I did. I did 6.5. All right. GGS.
Starting with PSA and Doug the Plug, where do you see your grading service in 10 years?
Top of the mountain like we are now, basically.
Why does he get to go first?
Because I'm in first place.
Why don't I get to go first?
Because you're second place, bro.
We got it. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with silver.
SGC is about to be in here next time.
Wrong with silver. Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Who?
But they're you're in the same category
chirp,
as SGC.
Chirp. Who?
SGC, baby. That's your competition, not mine. We are in
that
a
was crickets,
category
by the way.
Of
crickets.
Our own. Okay, a category of our own. PSA, long-term, Logan Paul, Instagram.
Who?
Has Pokemon graded cards.
Pokemon?
PSA 10 first edition. I'm telling you.
Is that all he has? He has Logan Paul? Is that what he, who?
Well, we don't have long enough for me to go through the list of celebrities
you just
that
did.
Represent
you had one.
PSA.
You had
That's
one.
Just one. That just happened one. Today. That's just on the dome.
You want to talk about long-term investments. And you know, we break it back down to print media. And Beckett, the king of print media. Back there, everybody flipping through the price guides. Did I see a PSA price guide anywhere? I'm looking, I don't see it.
Who reads anything
Who
anymore?
Reads? Apparently you don't read. Because you know shit.
No, I know everything. I'm on
language, gentlemen.
Yeah, this is a kid's show here.
This is a kid-friendly debate.
Yeah, kick him out now. Obviously, there's a number one.
Oh,
here.
Now you're mad. Now you see, he's getting flustered. He can't handle pressure.
The choice is very clear.
Very
clear. With your obnoxiously thick slab, that just you could. I mean, you might as well. You know what?
Thicker's better.
One good selling point for BGS is you could keep one and you could throw it and use it as a weapon because it's so heavy that it'll probably knock somebody out. So you might be able to use it. I know you got your phone thing there. And you could also use it as a weapon because it's so large.
That's why is that a downfall?
Why does it need to be so
if
big?
You have it, don't you want to be protected if you have a home intruder? You can
a
just
600
go,
count
you can
shoebox.
Go out, you can go out getting your BGS slabs and just throw them like ninja stars?
No, a 600 count box, you can fit 2 BGS slabs in there because that's how thick they are. It's ridiculous.
So, gentlemen, do we have any? We are running out of time. With I don't think we got any question actually answered here. We are actually running out of time. Do you have any closing statements for your side?
Just we're number one. PSA obviously is the choice amongst collectors. We have the best slabs. We have the best ROI in the business. We have the most celebrities choosing our slabs to use. So the choice is very, very clear. And I don't even listen to what this whatever his name is, Double Dirt Dan, has to say, because what's coming out of his mouth is absolute diarrhea.
All right. I'm a part of some of the greatest collector groups, and we all truly know BGS is the way to go. The long-term investment, you're never going to be disappointed. You're holding something, some substance. The perfect, like, just look of the curved edge, like, not even the curved edges, just like everything about it's amazing. Did I get back to the subgrades and the autograph grades on the back? There's nothing better than having a display case filled with BGS. There's nothing more profitable and there's nothing more fulfilling as a collector. You.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank both Double Down Dan and Doug the Plug for joining the debate. It is clear as ever that we did not answer a single question that we sought out to answer. So we want to thank everybody for taking their time to watch the debate tonight. And we hope you all learned a little bit of something of PSA and BGS and where they view their long-term success going. But most of all, keep in mind, CRAT 6.5 is on the way, baby.
We're back. And obviously, PSA won that one. We'll let you guys decide. Comment on the video. What is your choice? We're going to give away $150 in break credit if you comment on the Mojo Break media video of this episode, not here on Mojo Break's YouTube, but on the Mojo Break media channel. Comment on this video which one you would prefer to grade your cards. Don't take what we say. Obviously, that was satire. But BGS versus PSA, we want to know. We want to know.
You know, I actually think we've had that debate like 20 different times on this show. Never actually like that. But again, that was completely unscripted. I know I don't have to tell you guys that.
What do you mean? I've been practicing for years.
I don't have to tell you it was unscripted. It actually, we came up with it this morning.
Last night, well, it was the inception of it.
This morning, last night you brought it up and I was like, we're probably not going to do it. And then when you actually asked if I brought my sports coat, I was like, I guess we're doing it. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I like having some content that's not just the same, even if it's terrible.
Absolutely.
It's different. So,
you know, and honestly, I used to be a BGS lover. I do prefer PSA at the moment, but that may change. But at the moment, I do like the look of PSA. But maybe we'll save that for a recap of next week. I think C-Rad did fantastic hosting and doing his best Wallace impression.
And I found out about it 10 minutes before we recorded it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It wasn't like we told C-Rad like last night. He wasn't a part of the group text. It was actually just me and Doug. C-Rad probably should have been on there.
No, I think you were.
I think you said you.
But
guys,
yeah, I don't think
to...
you probably didn't think we were serious.
No,
so.
I didn't.
Me either. But I mean, I'd like to do more satire stuff like this. You know, I mean, some of it's going to be okay. Some of it's going to be terrible. And some of it's going to be somewhere in between. So
absolutely.
Exactly.
That was probably what we call a tweener. There's some good parts, but probably some pretty terrible parts.
Hey, you don't analyze your own art, right?
So. No, I actually refused to watch it. So I know that it was going down, but.
You did great, Dan.
No, I mean, I wish I would have. The beginning part.
You stumbled in the beginning.
The beginning part was
Doug
tough.
Doug got you in the beginning, but you pulled
beginning,
it. You ran
beginning
it
part was tough. Should have gone without questions. I told you we could have just like literally.
Well, maybe we'll have a round two where SGC comes in. But that's all we got for today's show because we got breaks that are sold out coming up. So don't go nowhere. We're going to jump back on the feed here and do some Donruss. And we've got more Mosaic. We've got Contenders Optic. We got Opulence breaking. C-Rad just pulled a Zion Opulence, man. Crazy card. But we'll see you guys next week on The Hype. Peace out.